Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Good evening. I have 8 pages of notes, not kidding, and these are all the scriptures that I'm used to study. So if anybody wants a copy, you can have maybe 10, so Holly can go make some more if somebody wants some. So you guys want these? And I have all my scriptures in my notes, but I felt like I needed to bring my Bible up here just because that's what you do, right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are still in the healing business. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor that is due to you. And Lord, we just love you. And we invite your presence into this place tonight, and we just say you are welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I am going to go off into some teaching tonight that is not, that's sort of questionable, because I'm not an expert, and I guarantee you none of you guys are experts either, so ha! So, how many of you know what eschatology is? There you go. One person? Eschatology is the study of the end times, like the second coming of Christ, the end of humankind, the end of the world, the whole thing. That's eschatology. I love to listen to teachers on this. So, but tonight, we're going to talk about one piece, and that's the second coming of Christ. So, let's get into it here. So, I'm not here to debate about theories or philosophies or opinions or any of that kind of stuff, because there's varying opinions on, you know, can we know when he's coming back and all this kind of, is he coming back before the tribulation, after the tribulation, when's the rapture, blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to quote the scriptures to you tonight and we'll go from there. Okay? So the Bible is 25% prophecy, approximately, much of which has already been fulfilled. Some has been fulfilled in our lifetime, and some is yet to be fulfilled. So let's establish a couple of things before we get going. And once I start rolling, we'll go through my bunch of notes real quick. So 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what private interpretation means is the prophet that was writing it down or speaking it didn't come up with it on his own. It wasn't his private interpretation of what's happening. For prophecy, continuing on, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it's God speaking to man through the Holy Spirit, and they're writing it down, okay? And then the second thing, so we've established that. The second thing we're going to establish is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and many of you probably know this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to make a little sidestep there, that the man of God It doesn't say that the pastor, the priest, or whatever, the man of God. That's men and women. We're all men and women of God. So that's what the scripture's for. So as many people found out that I was teaching on Valentine's Day, oh, you should teach on love. And I'm going to tell you, this is the greatest love story known to man. So I am teaching on love. You know? So whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you care or don't care, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is coming back. And he even mentions it while he's still in his first visit to this earth. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." All right, ladies, that's a Hallmark movie right there. So he comes, and he falls in love, and he says, "Oh, I love you so much that I'm going to go build you a house on the beach. And then when I get it all prepared, I'll come back and get you." That's a love story. So it's Valentine's Day, and it's Hallmark edition of Jesus' return, right? So the difference between a Hallmark story and this one, though, is that Jesus loved us so much that he left heaven, and he came, and he took on flesh, and he grew from a boy into a man. And then he died a horrible death for us. And he conquered the grave. And then he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." So that's how much he loves us. All right, page 2. See, I wasn't too bad. I'll put them over here so I don't repeat. Okay, I want to break it tonight into 3 parts. When is he coming? How is he coming? And what are we to be doing while we wait? All right. So when is he coming? That's pretty simple. No one knows. And he even said that. He said in Matthew 24:36, "But of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father." But we should be able to discern the times of his return. You know, he doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning the time and the events that precede or signal that his return is getting close. So, in Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says this. So he in Matthew 24, I would encourage you to read the whole thing, because it talks about he's on the hillside talking to privately with his disciples, and they ask him, "What are the signs of your coming? When will we know this?" So in Matthew 24, 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree." So he's talking about the end times and his return. "When the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near," right? Don't we know that? Spring's coming. We're going to see all the trees start blooming and budding and leaves, and everything will become green again. "So also, when you see these things, know that it is near at the door." So he's talking about his return, and the scripture talks about in chapter 24 of Matthew, all these things that are going to happen. So in Matthew 16, 1 through 4, so he's talking about how we should discern the times. "The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. So he answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather, before the sky is red and threatening. You hypocrites, You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So we can't just walk through life willy-nilly and not, you know, if there's stuff in the Word, He gave us all this prophecy for a reason. So we need to know what the times are that's going to signal His return. So I hope is this making sense? Okay. So what are some of the signs? So first of all, in Mark 13, he tells us to not be deceived. So they said, tell us then, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. He says that many times in many different scriptures. So I am telling you that deception is a big thing right now. There's fake news, and then there's fake news. I'm not sure any news is real news anymore. So you've got to be on our guard. We have to be on our guard about not being deceived about things that are going on. So let's go on there. He says, for in Mark 13, he says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, we got a war going on right now. But do not be troubled. You know, we can't get caught up in the fear-mongering. There's a lot of that right now. They'll take something that's happening and they'll just turn it around and just, it's fear-mongering. There's no other way to say it. So there's wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled. For such things must happen, and the end is not yet. So we got to go through all these wars and rumors of wars, because the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. Big earthquake just happened. I read today over 22,000 dead so far, and climbing, because they found somebody today. I think it had been 200 hours since it happened, and they found him alive. So, yeah. So earthquakes in various places. Oh, something else I heard about that earthquake. It moved the entire nation of Turkey 9 feet to the west. And it had a picture of the fault going right through an olive grove, and it was, it's 100 kilometers long, this fault, this crack, and it moved the country 9 feet. So, it says, earthquakes in various places, and there will be troubles and famines, but these are just the beginning of sorrows. Some translations say birth pains. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must be first preached to all nations. So that's the key. And we're going to get into that in a minute. The gospel must be preached to all nations. See, we're ripping through here. They'll deliver you up, but don't worry what you're going to say, because he said the Holy Spirit will give it to you. So when that time comes, when it gets so bad and they grab you and drag you in somewhere, you're there to give a testimony. That's what you're for. I'll tell you, I get caught up in, I'll just be honest with you, I get sort of concerned about losing my cushy American lifestyle. That, I'm just being honest. So that, but when you look at what's going on elsewhere in the world, you know, for being a Christian, that'll chop your head off. So we're so sheltered here in the United States, and I have to check myself to say, you know, listen, it ain't about keeping my cushy lifestyle. It's about the Lord and about His testimony and preaching the word to everybody on this planet. All right. So, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Okay. So we're supposed to be protecting ourselves from deception. The second thing is sign of the times is some will be departing from the faith. How many of you have heard, there for a while it seemed like every week, some preacher, some Christian music artist or somebody was like, I'm no longer Christian. So that's part of the deception, I think. Or were they really saved to begin with? I don't know. That's for them and the Lord to work out. But it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, now the latter times is anything from since Jesus first left till now. So we're in the latter times. We're the last of the last. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, meaning they don't feel anything anymore, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So, departing from the faith. In the last times, there will be perilous times. 2 Timothy 3, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I mean, come on, we have parades now about pride. And every other thing that somebody says is about pride. I'm proud, I'm not picking one group. It can be any of us. You know, if your pride comes before the Lord in your life, you got problems. So there'll be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Okay, I want to stop right there. When they deny the power, for a long time, I thought that was... they're denying the baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever. But I've come to some understanding of that scripture. And when they deny the godliness, everything we just read there, when they deny the power thereof, what they're denying is the power for them to change their life. To walk away from the whole list that I just read. It's not about the baptism of the Spirit. It's about the Spirit living inside you and changing you so that you don't walk in everything I just read. And you don't live that life anymore. That's what they're denying. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. So their form of godliness, they may come to church every Sunday. They may be here every time the doors open, but they can't put down the drink, or they can't stop cheating on their wife, or they can't whatever, because they're denying the power of God to come in and change their life. And what's he say there? From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, catch this, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can learn the whole Bible, but if they don't know the truth that's Jesus Christ, they're missing everything. So they can have more knowledge. Almost got my preach on there for a second. And now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all. Okay, so perilous times will be a sign. Departing from the faith will be a sign. Jesus talks in Matthew 24 again about the days of Noah. So listen to this. So this is Jesus talking. He says, he's talking about the end of the days, end of time before he comes back. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we're going to be just living our life. And there he is. Marrying, giving marriage, eating, drinking, doing church, doing life groups, doing your job. So let's go back to Genesis 6 then and see what that says about this same subject. Because this is the days, he's brought up the days of Noah. So in Genesis 6, 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil on evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So as of the days of Noah, the wickedness of man was great, and the thoughts of the heart were on evil continually. All you got to do is pull up the news and look at anything. It don't even have to be news. Go to YouTube, start watching something. Pick up your phone. I mean, it's amazing to me how accurate this is to have been written 2,000 years ago, or in the case of Genesis, I don't know, 7,000 years ago. Okay, continuing on in Genesis, chapter 7, on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, and every beast after its kind, cattle, creeping things, birds, and they all went into the ark. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in, and the Lord shut him in. Moses didn't close the door. The Lord closed the door. And what happened when the Lord closed the door? Nobody else was getting in. And in Revelation 3:7, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So when God shut the door to the ark, it was shut. And there was no more chance for the people that were on the earth at that point. They were done. So that's what it's going to be like. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, that's what it's going to be like when I return. When he comes back, he's going to shut the door. I don't know. I'm not an expert. When is the chance for salvation end? I don't know. But I know in Noah's day, it ended when God shut the door. It was over. Okay, in the last days, scoffers will come. In 2 Peter 3, I better step up. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9. Beloved, I now write you this second epistle to both, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Okay, here's a big detour I'm going to take. So if you guys don't know me, I am an IT system admin. I've been doing IT for 30-something years now. So I sort of geek out on technology. So, you know, when it says right here, it says that for since the fathers fell asleep, meaning when their parents, as every generation dies off, everything continues the same. Okay? Well, that ain't true. We're living in a time when, you know, Israel became a nation again in 1948 from, I don't know how many years Israel wasn't a nation. Well, Israel's a nation again. And, you know, Israel is booming right now. They just found the largest natural gas reserves ever. It's like 9 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And if you look at a map of the Middle East, a satellite, Israel's green, everything around it's dead. So, is this coincidence? No. So, anyway, so I wanted to read to you a little bit about, you know, some technology, because it says that since the beginning, since every generation dies, it all continues the same. Well, that's not right. Our lifetime, oh my gosh, my dad, who passed away last year, he probably saw more change in his life than we'll ever see. You know, he plowed fields with a horse and a plow when he was young. And then they put a man on the moon in the 60s. And now, you know, last year, he loved the internet. He's like, did you see this on YouTube, this video? And he'd get on there and watch people building stuff or, you know, doing something. But, you know, he went all the way from that, from having no car to cars that drive themselves. But so here's some statistics about things that have changed in our lifetime. There are, as of 2023, this article was published in January 11th of this year. It says there are 4.95 billion internet users in the world. There are 7.33 billion mobile phone users. It's predicted that there will be 38.6 billion Internet of Thing devices. What's smart? That's anything connected to the internet. Smartwatches, phones, iPads. There are 1.35 million tech startups in the world. 93% of U.S. adults use the internet. In 2010, that was like 60%. It's estimated that 90%, get this, of the world's data was collected in the last 2 years. That's crazy. So there's some graphs in here. There's something else I wanted to show you. So yeah, just is Zach in here? I know he'll know. What's the AI that you can go ask things of now? Chat GPT? Yeah. You can, it's an artificial intelligence platform. You just type in Chat GPT, it'll take you there. You can ask it any question you want. And it's trying to learn. Makes me think of the movie. How many of you seen the movie Terminator, Rise of the Machines? Yeah. Skynet's going live. Okay, so get this. It's estimated that there's 2.5 quintillion bytes of data, quintillion bytes of data created each day. That's 2.5 and 18 zeros each day. And this was from, you know, computing didn't really start until the 60s. And microprocessors didn't really start until the 1970s. So there's one, oh, right here. So Moore's Law, Moore was one of the founders of Intel, I believe. The company Intel makes microprocessors. And he said in the 1971 that he said this law is that computing capacity will double every 2 years. So if you think about that, let's do simple, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 512, 1024, 2048. You see it's growing. So from 1998, a computer chip had 1.3 trillion transistors on it. Today, it has 442,000 trillion transistors on one computer chip. Things are not the same with every generation. And if Moore's Law continues and technology doubles every 2 years, it's crazy. By 2030, there's all kinds of predictions about 2030 and technology, what there's going to have. So what are you saying, Bill? I'm saying that for the first time in history, that there's a mechanism for tracking everything that we do. There's countries already looking at centralized banking digital currency. That means no more cash, is what that means. And is that, there's some good things that can come with that. There really is. I mean, if you don't have cash, that's going to put a big hurt on, like, let's say things like drug trade, sex trafficking, things that are focused around cash. But with that, there's also some bad stuff. So if a bank controls every watches and controls every transaction you're going to do, what if they decide, well, you can't do that? China's already got time limits on their money. I read an article said that you have $30,000 in your account, you have 30 days to spend it. If you don't spend it in 30 days, it's no good. Yeah. And what's to say if you go, well, I'm a big gun nut. What? Well, I want to go down to Shooter Supply and buy me a new gun. What if they say, well, you can't spend your money on guns? They stop the transaction. So there's this whole control. So that's the first time in history that we've had the capability to monitor everything that somebody does. Your cell phone, how many of you have been talking about something and then all at once ads for whatever you were talking about I saw a little skit the other day. A lady walked by her husband's cell phone, said, baby, 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 baby. And so the next thing, he looks at it, and it's got all this baby stuff on it. And they're listening. I'm telling you, it ain't conspiracy theory. It's real. I work for a company that does, I have a security clearance through the Department of Energy. And if we have a meeting, no cell phones go into that meeting. And the old phones, before we had these newer ones, you had to take the batteries out of all of them. They had to be completely dead. Now they don't even go into the building. So, because they know they're listening. All right, enough on that. I'm trying to get through. Okay, so that was the first topic, which is, when is he coming? Next is, how is he coming? We're going to rip through this, okay? He is coming as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians. He says that you know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So a thief in the night, you know, if you're sleeping, if you sleep like me, they could bust in, steal whatever they want. I wouldn't know because I'm still asleep. So that's how the Lord's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night when you least expect it. Some of us, when he comes, you know, I won't get into too much, but there'll be a catching away of people. Some people say the phrase rapture, which comes from Latin, I believe. But not everybody's going to die. When Jesus comes back at the sound of the trumpet, those that are dead will be caught up, and those that are alive will be caught up. So that means that we can disappear in a second, twinkling of an eye. That was the next one. In 1 Corinthians, he says that, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Boom, we're gone. I'm excited. This shouldn't scare you. If you're saved and you're walking with Jesus, this should not scare you one bit. It should get your blood flowing. How else is he coming? He's coming in his glory in Matthew 25. He's coming as judge in Matthew 25. He's coming with his reward in Matthew 16 and Revelation 22. The first time Jesus came, he came as the lamb, lowly and riding on a donkey. Well, he ain't coming back that way. So I got to read you this. In Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. I want to be on that. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. That does not sound lowly and a lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has it on his robe. And on his thigh, a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, he's not the lamb. He came as the lamb. He was crucified as the lamb. But he's coming back as a conquering king. So what are we to be doing while we're waiting? We should be watching and praying in Luke 21. We should be keeping the faith in Luke 18. In Hebrews 9 says we should be eagerly waiting for his arrival. In 2 Timothy 4, we should be preaching the word. In Matthew 24, we're not to be deceived. In 2 Peter 3, we should be without spot and blameless. We need to be living holy lives. Matthew 28, we should be fulfilling the Great Commission. That's go and teach and make disciples and baptize them. And Philippians 2, we should be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. 1 Peter 1, he talks about we should conduct ourselves throughout the time of our stay here in fear. Now, that's not like, oh my gosh, fear. It's the scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So, Revelation 3, we should be holding on to what we have so that no one can take your crown. 2 Timothy says we should be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter says we need to be diligent to make your call and election sure that we don't stumble. John 15 says we should be bearing fruit. He says, I am the true vine and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away and cast into the fire, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now abide in me and I abide in you. So bear fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. We can't bear fruit unless we're in Jesus. Hebrews 10 says we're to be stirring up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, I get tired of running to Paducah every time we're having something at church. But the closer it comes, the more we need to be coming. The more do we need to be gathering together. The more we need to be encouraging each other with the words that he's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you living your life in holiness that you're ready for his return? It could be before I finish this sentence, or it could be 100 years from now. You know, everybody in this room could live out their days. We could live to be 80, 90. Jim Lewis might live to be 110. He's got good genes. We might be 110, Jim, and Jesus not come back. But I'm telling you, the signs say that it's soon. So what should we be doing while we're waiting? Simply put, we just be Jesus, because he's the Father sent him and he sent us. And you know, back to the part where I was talking about the mockers, you know, where they, where's he at? Where's he at? You know, it's been 2,000 years. Well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So in God's timing, what's that, 2 days? And his long, it's better, and the scripture talks about this, the longer he waits, he wants everybody to be saved. So his delay is to our well-being, because we all have friends and family members that don't know him. And we don't want the door to the ark shut without them knowing him. So I didn't mean this to be heavy or scary. We should be excited because he's coming. And whether we believe it, whether we don't care, or whatever your position, doesn't change the fact that he's coming. So I don't know. That's all I have. It's 7:30. But I hope that made sense. And so I just want to encourage everybody. Don't be discouraged. Don't. And don't be troubled. I'm the pessimist of all pessimists, and Holly can tell you that. The glass is never half full. It's always half empty. Matter of fact, it's probably 2/3 empty in my book. But we shouldn't be troubled. There's a war in Ukraine. Don't be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. These things have to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence. And for Bill, it's not about his cushy American lifestyle. If I lose everything, nothing in this book changes. None of the prophecies change. If it all ends today, if I lose my job, if I lose my health, if I lose whatever, Jesus is still the Lord and he's still coming. He's coming for me whether I'm in the dirt or I'm standing right here. That's exciting too. I was studying this last night. I looked over at Holly. I said, I want to know what it's like when you die. And she's just like, what? I said, I want to know what happens when you die. And I said, don't you? She goes, well, yeah, but not right now. But I do. I want to know. I want to know what it's like. Is absent from, Scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I want to know, do I float up? Do I get to see my dead carcass lying there and I'm floating away, waving bye? Or am I just like out of here? That kind of stuff. But all hearts and minds clear? Any questions? I'll entertain questions. No? I know Zach's got a question. Huh? You anything? I'm on. All right. Here we go. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that you've done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you will do. And God, we just present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Use us to reach our neighbor, to reach our family, to reach this region, to reach this state, to reach this nation, and to reach the nations, Lord. Use us. We will stand in the gap, God, for those that don't know you, and we lift them up before you. God, we just ask that you would give us wisdom to protect us from deception, to not be easily swayed, that we would come back to the Scripture as your word, to come back to that as our reference point. Regardless of what it is, that's our filter for everything that happens. Lord, we love you. I thank you for these people, and I thank you for their patience tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.